Good evening, everybody, and welcome to this evening's teleseminar called Loving Mother Earth. My name is Damien Sen, and it's a great pleasure to have you on the line this evening. In a few moments from now, I'll be introducing our very special guest, Chief Orville Looking Horse. But before I do, please allow me to share how this call will work this evening, particularly if this is one of your first PeopleYouShouldMeet.com calls that you've tuned into. Now, we're going to be on the call for around about an hour, and over the course of the hour, I'll be asking Chief Orville a whole series of different questions on our topic. Some of the questions will be my own, but the majority of questions will have actually been submitted in through the site by you, our listeners, prior to the call. Now, I first became aware of Chief Orville by a very good friend of mine, JC Mack, who you will have actually heard on a number of different PeopleYouShouldMeet.com calls if you're a regular listener. And he introduced me to his work and his message, and I was incredibly inspired. And one of the main reasons I was inspired is because of the great crossroads it seems as if we've arrived at here on planet Earth as a race of people. To actually have someone such as Chief Orville Looking Horse to actually share the wisdom and some of the prophecies that have been passed on to him at this time of delicate balance is like an incredibly important thing to do in the world. And it's great that there's been such an amazing response to you from wherever you are in the world. Now, at the age of 12, Chief Orville Looking Horse was given a great responsibility. He became the 19th generation keeper of the sacred white buffalo calf pipe. Since then, and due to his understanding of the tragic history of his people, the Lakota, Nakota, and the Dakota, Orville has committed his life to working for freedom, peace, and the cultural revival and healing of his people. Orville's degree of commitment to helping not only his own people, but through sharing the native prophecies as well as creating awareness and understanding throughout the world, has placed him among other great leaders in the world at the forefront of the quest for peace. It gives me great pleasure to welcome to the call our very special guest, Chief Orville Looking Horse. Are you there, Chief Orville?
Yes. Good day.
Welcome. Now, I was just wondering, Chief Orville, if you could actually just share how the passing of the sacred white buffalo pipe. I was just wondering if you could actually share the story behind being given this great responsibility and the process behind the pipe and also what it means and the responsibilities that being the keeper of the sacred white buffalo pipe actually means.
Yes, this sacred pipe is an ancient sacred bundle. It's a spirit bundle that we take care of. And at the age of 12 years old, that was 1966, prior to that, I was living with my grandfather and my grandmother, and I was very fluent in our language. So I went into first grade with no language. English is my second language. But I went back then. I would just go straight into first grade, not knowing English at all. So, living with my grandparents and living through that tradition, our way of life. In our way of life, like we follow spirit. And when my grandmother was ready to go into spirit world, our ancestors, they came after her, and it was during that time they told her that I would be the next keeper of the sacred pipe, the sacred bundle. So that was 1966, and that's the way I was. So afterwards, I went through that, after she went into the spirit world, I was put through that ceremony, becoming age. At the age of, I was 12 years old, and there's a ceremony that came at the bundle. That at the age of 12 years old, you go through that ceremony, becoming age, the womanhood ceremony is for the women, and there's a ceremony for the men. And I went through the men that at the age of 12 years old to fully understand what the our way of life and the spirit of the bundle. That was a long teaching that I went through at the age of 12.
Wow. And at the age of 12, could you really anticipate the responsibilities that came with being the holder so you could white buffalo calf pot?
Yeah. I guess before that, I thought it was just an ordinary family pipe that our family that take care of. At the time that when I went through the ceremony at the age of 12 years old, that's when I was told that this is the original bundle that the Creator, the Great Spirit, gave to our nation. So it was then that they told me about this story about during that time, 19 generations ago, it was the way they explained to me was one lifespan is one generation. And so that goes way back into 19 lifespans. And at the time, but they also told me that when my grandmother, when she went into spirit world, she was in her late 80s, and she died early, according to the old elders that told me that every bundle keeper lived over 100 years.
Wow.
And then my grandmother, she told, I guess she communicated with the family that and some of the people that I would not that I would be the last keeper if the people don't straighten up.
Wow.
So that was a prophecy. That was what her words, what she said at during that time. And then
wow.
So after I went through that becoming age ceremony, I was told about this story about the in that bundle ceremony, they told me about how they told about this two scouts. It was during a time when the people were following the buffalo, and all of a sudden all the buffalo disappeared because the people were abusing a way of life. And at the time, all the animals disappeared because the people were, they were abusing life. That's the way I would say it. So the animals and everything was gone, and that's when they were sending scouts out every day to travel the four directions, and then and here from the camp, and then they were sitting on top of the hill, and they were looking around, these two scouts, and there they saw from a distance something coming towards them. And what came upon them was a young, beautiful woman, long black hair, buckskin dress, and carrying a bundle. And she was a pretty young lady, and one had bad thoughts, and the other one was thinking, had good thoughts. And she knew who, what this one scout was thinking. And so he told her, I know what you're thinking, and you must come to me. So he approached her, and the cloud enveloped, and when the clouds lifted, he was in skeleton, and from his hair went some snakes.
Wow.
And then she told the next who was the next scout that go back and tell the people what you have seen. Don't make more. Don't make less of what you've seen. But tell the truth. And that tomorrow I would be coming with the sacred bundle to was sent to the people. So he went home and to the camp and told the people that, and sure enough, she came the next day and she was singing some songs as she was coming, and the people listened, and she brought this bundle, and there, she said to lay some sage on the ground, and then set up a teepee for, because that's the way that the people live. So the, she, in front of the teepee, that's where the bundle was, she brought, was laid and down, and all the people all gathered and around here, and then she opened that bundle, and there's a pipe in there. But at the time, they don't know it's a, it was a, like an object, they, what they're seeing. And she explained everything as she was taking this bundle out, this this object. She said, "This is a red stone of your, the blood of your people. Represents the female, and the stem represents the root nation called Hutkan Oyate, the root nation. And when you put it together, you connect in the world above and the earth mother. And your prayers will be then offered." As she had some called Chanshasha Kiniknik. And this is what you're going to use. And she pointed to the west, and then she prayed and put it into the that bowl. And then she prayed to the north, and then she put it in the bowl. And then east, south, and the Great Spirit and Mother Earth. And then you would pray to the Great Spirit, Waka Pranka, the Great Spirit, with this. And then after you get done praying, then you're going to smoke it. And she put it to the first keeper's lips and said, "Cha Oompa, Cha Oompa," she keeps saying. Cha is wood, wood. Oompa is smoke. So the people all nodded and said, "Cha Oompa, Cha Oompa." And anyway, she lit the bowl, and then he smoked the pipe and shared it with the people. And she said, "This is there's seven ceremonies that came with this bundle. In time, you would know the seven sacred rites." And as she left, she went towards the west, and she went up the hill so far, and then she stopped and rolled over, and she stood up as a young black buffalo. She went so far and rolled over, and she stood up was a red one. The third one is a yellow one, and the further towards the top, it was a white one. And then she went over the hill as a white buffalo calf. So the people said they were going to call the spirit woman the white buffalo calf woman, spirit woman, Ptesangwe. Ptesangwe, so everybody agreed that no, that was her. But the people at the time, they said, she told the people that next time I come back and stand upon the on the earth, that there's going to be great changes. There's going to be great changes upon the earth. And the people said that there'll be like earth changes and climate changes. And what happened was at the age of 12 years old, I said, "This is an old story that came with this bundle." And the people said, "Ha, that's it. No, that's the way it was." So that was during that time, it was like that. That at the age of 12 years old, there was a prophecy, and the elders told me. And then from that time till today, what I live in my life, I have witnessed a lot of changes. And there's people in like in the 80s they start dreaming about the white buffalo and having dreams and visions about the white buffalo, and they said there's changes coming about. And here, the first white buffalo calf was born 1994. But it's not only this white buffalo calf, but a lot of white animals showing their sacred color, because our teachings all come from the animal nation. A lot of our teachings come from our animal nations. So when the first white buffalo calf was born, it was after that, we see a lot of other white animals being born. But 1994 till today, almost every year, a white buffalo calf stood upon the earth. And in a prophecy, it says that the positive will be there, but the negative will be just as strong. Mm-hmm. And there's so much that came with the prophecy of our ways that it's coming about in a lot of different ways and forms. And that's from, so living on the reservation here in South Dakota, I live on Cheyenne River Reservation. I, back in the 60s, we never, I thought to myself that I would live in this community, speaking my language, and going to town, which is 20 miles to get my mail, and then go back, come back, because this is the way our life was in the 60s. And anyway, from that time till today, it was in the 80s, a lot of changes starting to come about. And we did a ride on horseback to Wounded Knee, 1990. And some of the people that have read, there's a book called Black Elk Speaks. It talks about the sacred hoop of the nation was broken at Wounded Knee. So our sacred hoop, it's called Changleshka Waka. The sacred hoop is it's a way of life that we live here in the Dakotas or in our territory. The Lakota, Dakota, Nakota, Oyate, or when we signed a treaty with the U.S. government, they gave us that name, the Great Sioux Nation. But prior to the signing of these treaties, and we followed buffalo, and we lived a lifestyle that was very healthy. And our people, like I said earlier, they live over 100 years because the foods that we eat that fits our lifestyle and that DNA, the blood that every nation, they, if they go back to their own natural food, they would see how healthy they will get. So our understanding is that we respect all nations and our way of life. And to us here at the First Nations, we have lived that life before the treaties, and during that time, our life was based on what the Creator gave us, and we prayed with these, and we through our ceremonies and our sacred sites, we maintain like the Great Spirit told us that through that sacred pipe through the sacred pipe that we would maintain peace, harmony, and balance upon the earth. So that's how we do our ceremonies and go to back to our sacred sites. And so our lifestyle is we're very strong that way today, you know, our lifestyle, our life has gotten short, and because the what we eat and how we think, and so a lot of times the elders long time ago, like they take care of their chiefs or the medicine people, and they were healthy, and so it's because and make sure that they were taken care of. And so at the age of 12 years old, I was given, I was put through the ceremony at the age of 12 years old. And then after the ceremony, they put a headdress on me. And they said that from this day forward, I said, you can't carry a gun. And then you can't use foul language. And there's a lot of things that I really can't do. So then he said, when you speak to us that you're going to, with this eagle feather and the headdress, you're going to speak to the people, but you're speaking to the Creator too. So the words that you say has to come from your heart. And the songs that you sing has to come from your heart. So that's the way our life, our chiefs have to be. So it's so they can't they have to speak and live among our people to be a leader. You got to live among the people, and then you have to speak from your heart for the people.
That's very, very powerful. Now, it's just interesting with the leaders of today. Do you actually feel that they're coming from a heart-centered space, or are they coming from their minds or from their heads? And will actually changing the way that they are actually affect the human race and the race of all creatures on this planet by coming from that more heart-centered space?
Yes, you know, that's what I... that's the way I view is that people, the leaders, they have to really be humble and everything to me like the way I explain about leadership, you know, that's the way it should be. But you know, it's pretty hard in this modern time because the people that in a leadership role, you know, it's I'm going to tell you a story because I received an International Peace Award last fall at the United Nations in New York City, and they gave me a little time to say a few words about leadership, and so when I got up there, I remember an elder. We had a treaty meetings here, and a lot of different meetings, spiritual gatherings here at where I live. And one of the treaty meetings, one of the elders, he passed on since then, but. At the time, I was shortly after 12 years old, and I was under a shade, and we had a hot summer day, and I was laying on the grass. I was looking at this elder. He was talking about leadership. Then in the middle of his talk, he talked about I have a dream that that if I ever get a chance to go to a place called Tisca, the White House. There's a place called Washington D.C. and I would go to this place and walk up the steps of the White House. Then I would say a prayer at the steps for the people inside the White House, that they would have a heart for the people. And then I would go to the next place I would go is a place called New York City, a big city, where they call it United Nations. And there I would go to the steps of the United Nations, and I would say a prayer for the people inside the United Nations, that they would have a heart for the people. And today, as I received this award at the United Nations, that was last year, I said, no, I feel very compassion that a dream has come true because of one of our elders to for the because this is the first time they have recognized First Nations people here at the United Nations to receive such an award for at the United Nations as a peace award. And that's what I said a year ago. And so that kind of explained to me where we come from.
That's amazing. Now, with that gesture, and there is many parts of the globe that are experiencing disharmony, whether it's through financial disharmony, whether it's through environmental disharmony, or even war and other conflict and other forms of disharmony. Just wondering, do you really think it's possible for man to be able to restore peace, harmony, and balance to Mother Earth?
Yes, I believe that, in fact, every man, woman, and the people have got to have that in order for an energy shift upon Mother Earth. And that's why World Peace and Prayer Day on June 21st, hope we can recognize it as an international holiday, not because people can get off work, but to recognize such a day because there's a spiritual significance of what we're faced with in the world as with global warming, and a time that people can unite relatives, because we are living in individualism. When I was very young, they talked to me that maybe it was kind of like the last stages of tribalism, because our people were still, our traditions were very strong when it was still that we had elders that talk about tribalism, when people and families come together and respect each other. And we have no choice but to listen to elders and be humble and respectful. And you pray with that food, you pray with that medicine. And but from that time till today, when I, at the age of 12 years old, I said that I would never use foul language. But today, in my everyday life, almost every day I hear a lot of foul language. And we are living in individualism, when brothers and sisters are fighting, a lot of hatred, anger, and people are getting up every morning with negative energy. So in our life, from the time of creation, it's about energy. It's about understanding that every day is sacred. And the elders, the old ones, always remind us that every day is a great mystery, that things can change so fast. That's why we say Wakantanka, the Great Spirit. So in our ceremonies and in our way of life, we stay humble, and our prayers and our songs is about have pity on me. Unshimalayo, have pity on me. That no, we honor the Great Spirit every day. But today, no, seem like we're so programmed, and that we think way ahead, no, the future, and this is the way we already know in our minds know what's going to happen, and but that's not the way it should be, because no, what we are dealing with is it's all about money, and that's why no, it's so hurtful, because the abuse, you know, if in our ceremonies, you know, we if we do ceremony, you know, we don't set prices. Like some people are trying to do that today. They do ceremony and they set prices, like $1,000 for a Sundance, Vision Quest 1,000, the Sweat Lodge, $50, $100, and but we don't set prices like that. When you go ceremony, you can't have no money on your mind. But at the end of ceremony, that's when you can gift from your heart. So you can give the gas money if you want to, because, if you travel, you can give gas money or whatever you want to give. Mm. It's up to you, but you can't set prices. See the difference?
Mm.
And so a lot of people are, you know, setting prices, and so they already, you know, when you have money on your mind, it disrupts the ceremony. So you're doing more damage than good. But people have to... So when we talk about this sacred hoop of life that we live here, you know, you have to... Like the circles is a great big imaginary hoop. But when you step into that hoop, you got to stand with both feet on the ground. But before that, you have to be clean, or you have to let go of everything. So that's why we go into purification ceremony, and we pray that, even with somebody that have bad feelings towards you, or you have to pray for somebody that did something wrong towards you, or, anyway, in a ceremony, purification ceremony, you have to let go of everything. And then in order for you to go into ceremony. So the elders, they always say, come with a good heart and come with a good mind. Leave all the bad things out there. Then you come into ceremony. No, you come to ceremony. No, don't have any thing on your mind. You come, you show yourself to the Creator in a good way. So that way, things, you know, the ceremony will be good and healing, because we work with spirit. So when you come into ceremony, you know, the sacred pipe is a spirit. The drum is a spirit. The eagle staff is a spirit. So when you bring all this together, you know, it's like a supernatural. We're sending a voice to the Creator. So everything has to be pure. And so we have to understand the creation story. And so that our teachings were very, very strict. And when I was 12 years old, going through that ceremony, living here, we had to haul water, and we had no electricity until in the early 70s. So we can't play with water. The water that we haul, you make sure that you use every part of that water. Then if you're going to spill water on the ground, you have to lay it close to the ground and spill it that way. You can't just play with water and throw it up in the air. You can't do that. And so then we have to go after berries and then prepare for the whole year. So every day, my grandmother would get up and she would, on the wall, she would tell me different stories. And she would tell me, these are days that we do ceremonies. And then the four seasons. And then on this day, in the springtime, in March, during this time, there's one storm that comes. It's called Tiopa Nathaka. And the storm, it says Tiopa is door, Nathaka is shut door. It's a storm that comes during this time when we do this ceremony on March 21st. So this ceremony is called Welcoming the Thunder Ceremony. And we have our people. Some of them, they go back to the Black Hills and the Chesapa, the Black Hills in South Dakota, and they would do this ceremony on March 21st at a place called Harney Peak. And so today, up to this day, we still do that. Some of the people still go back up there. But my grandmother, she raised me that way, that old traditional way of respecting that everything has a spirit. Mm-hmm. And then, so during that time, back here, I live along the river, then you go around that bend there, and then further up that bend, up in the hills there, there's some buttes, and it's called Wambuliokua. Wambuliokua is a place where a long time ago they dug pits. And you can go there and see them. They dug pits, and then they would put branches on top and then put a bait, like a rabbit or something. And then the people, our young boys, would sit there for hours, and they would lure an eagle down. And this eagle would come and fly down, and as soon as he comes down and picks up that the bait, they would catch the eagle, and they would let that eagle fly away and take that tail feather. Take one feather from that eagle, and they would come down that hill and take it to Wakan Yeska, an interpreter. And because so we don't, back then we call them interpreters. Wakan Yeska, they run ceremonies. Lowampi ceremonies, UUP ceremonies, and they would take that feather to them, and that's when they would tell you that from this day you would honor a way of life. That when you stand with the eagle feather, it's the highest honor that you can give another person. It's the highest honor. With this eagle feather, there's so much knowledge behind this eagle feather. It's called Iksheri Chasha Wotka Wachin Wakan, the sacred knowledge that comes with this eagle feather. And this knowledge will be always kept that high, as far as like a person standing up and tying that eagle feather on their hair. And then you would always remember this day, from this day, that that everything that we utilize through ceremony, it has to be coming from a life like an eagle. And then you're going to explain that the buffalo that we use in the ceremony has to be a live buffalo. So we have a ceremony called the buffalo killing ceremony. So this buffalo, as you put the buffalo together, sooner or later one would come out. It's a male buffalo. And then that's what they would take. And then we use the medicine and the berries that we use in our food, spiritual ceremonial food, is the berries. And then we have the medicine. It has to be a live tree or comes from a live plant. Mm. And then even the sun dance, the sundance tree is a live tree that you pray about it, and it's going to show through our ways that we would know there's some people that work with the Wakanyeska. They would get the right tree that we would use in the ceremony that gave its life. So everything that we use from that time at the age of 12 years old, in our understanding with that sacred knowledge, is that has to be something that, like a live tree. And so then we pray to the Joaquin Oyate. When we pray, do our ceremonies, we pray to the thunder beings to the west. And then, but sometimes the thunder beings come and they would strike a tree. And then, so the tree, like when I was very young, they would tell me, no, don't touch that. If the lightning strikes the tree, don't touch it. Mm-hmm. Or don't even bring that wood back to the house. Because we have to respect the Joaquin Oyate. So I always wonder why they would say that in there later on when they explained to me about our way of life, and then I fully understand because, it's about energy. Mm-hmm. And it's about respecting different nations. And so our way of life is, there's so much teachings that a lot of the only way is to go through the ceremony. Mm. And we recognize that you can talk so much, but there's a fine line. Through our ceremonies and prophecies that what we are speaking today, that people need to respect each other's tradition. Mm. So, and at the age of 12 years old till today, even I live close to the sacred Black Hills, and that Black Hills is the heart. And that was explained through our ceremonies that it shapes like a heart. And when you go back to the Black Hills to pray, that's where our people came from in our creation story. So when you go back to the Black Hills, there's some stars in the sky. At nighttime, you can see the sacred sites up there and the sacred sites in the Black Hills. So we have the story about the star knowledge. So next you go, you have to understand the stories about the star knowledge. And it might have been in the 70s, one of my grandfathers, he is from Rosebud. His name was Stanley Redbird. Jerry Mohat and Goodman. No, they came down to here, Greengrass, and then talked with my father and said, you know, we need to start putting something in our books. We're just not starting a community college in Rosebud. And said, so we need to start teaching the young people some of the stories that, because a lot of stories that was written, it's written by non-Indians, and no, it's not really. If you want to know something, you have to live among the people and live for a while until they respect you enough to share the stories with you. Mm. So it takes a while to, you know, but you know, people just write anything today. So they said we need to write something that could, our children can understand, because a lot of our stories are dying out. So, but the language, and so they, my father agreed, and they made a. So we went over there, then we worked with them, and there's a story called The Star Knowledge. It's a blue book out of St. Iglesias College in Rosebud. But, you know, to me, what is happening today, that, you know, I understand that, you know, there's some things that that people need to respect. And if you want to, like, you go to the right people, and if they invite you to the ceremonies, that'll be good. And but you go through the ceremony and you understand. But there's some things that you can't write about in books, and that's where you know, that people have to still have to respect, have enough respect, because what we are doing today, you know, what we are faced with. Today is global warming, global disasters, and this is all in our prophecies, like big winds, big winds, earth changes, climate changes, and you know, earthquakes where there's never earthquakes before. We're going to see some volcanoes because erupting, and like now people are watching Yellowstone National Park. That's a volcano that's starting to come up.
Wow.
So there's a lot of, like, our teachings is based on a lot of our animals and throughout the whole year. So we know when to, the winter, we're going to have, in South Dakota, if we're going to have a harsh winter or a mild winter, we watch the animals. And we know through our ceremonies, and so a lot of it's not only is it the animal nation and on earth and the stars, but in spirit, you know, we got to believe that we can all come together as because we came here as a spirit. And when we leave here, we're going to leave here as a spirit. That's what the elders remind us. And but we have a long time ago, you know, they talk about the way of life, and you know, long time ago when somebody dies or you know, they get rid of everything because you know, the energy is there. But today, no, we don't, I mean, maybe because we have a strong Christian influence that, you know, a lot of our people, they don't really think the way, the values of our tradition. And a lot of people from different countries think every time, every Indian is traditional, and, that when every time they meet a person, they think he's fully he's a traditional person, but no. it's kind of sad the way that our life is, because, you know, like, everybody's into money. And so always tell people, go with your gut feeling and understand that, no, about people before you get caught up in something that you want to be in.
That's very, very powerful. Now, Abel, we're coming to the end of the hour, and you've shared such an incredible wealth of information, and it's just been amazing to listen to the stories of your tradition and some of the sacred ceremonies that really acknowledge the connection of us to everything else, whether it be man, animal, earth, and also spirit. And one of the things I was really keen to actually close with on the interview is actually to talk a little bit more about your mission here on Earth, and also how people listening to this call may be able to support you in realizing your mission.
Yes, living on the reservation here, we're like 80% there's no jobs. And, you know, the monies that come to our reservation is like, it comes to our tribe and then goes out to people. But for us as spiritual people, we have no income, and it's kind of like living in a different world. And we still have to maintain our ceremonies and, you know, this balance of life and maintain peace, harmony, and balance. So, yeah, we do need help in somewhat too, but we're also, you know, depending on people, because of they can make a difference in the world, make changes. So our website is www.wolakota.org. And I live here on Cheyenne River Reservation, Eagle Beach, South Dakota. So, you know, this is where we are.
And for people who would like to actually meet you, I know you do travel around occasionally to speak and share the wisdom of your tradition. Do you have any future talks planned, or are there some places in the world that you would love to visit that you haven't already visited?
With World Peace and Prayer Day, we went pretty much all over the world. And I'm sure that we'll be traveling different places. But this year, June 21st, we're going to San Francisco. And this is the first time we're going to working with, it's organized by, you know, church. So I guess we are asking people all over the world to unite on June 21st and pray together, and don't use electricity, and try to not to use any water, and because you need to talk about the changes that we are faced with, and then it's a very important time to unite relatives and share with the future about sustainable development, sustainable way of living, and the work that with World Peace and Prosperity will be recognized throughout the world.
Amazing. And just in bringing the call to a close, people that are sitting at home thinking about what they can actually do personally to, I guess, move away from that illusion of separation and actually step forward and realize their true connection to everything. I was just wondering if you could actually share some words of inspiration for people that want to be more fully connected with everything else, including Mother Earth.
I'd like to have this like a dream I had when I went on this ride to Wounded Knee back in the 80s, early 80s. And anyway, what happened was I dreamt about this television, and before this was before internet, and I saw this old TV, and inside that TV was the world, and this when you touch it with a pencil, then the book opens up, then people stand in a circle with tobacco in their hand and a particular fire in the middle. And then they would close it, and then the world would turn, and they would touch another place like Australia, and then the book opens up and people stand there, all nationalities stand in a circle, having tobacco, and they would pray and then offer tobacco to a sacred fire in the middle. And they would close the book, and they would open up maybe in Europe, and then people would stand in a circle, and they would have a tobacco in their hand, and they would offer that sacred fire, and they would close it, and go. The world goes, keeps spinning. And that was a dream. And then today, I was a dream that I'm sharing with the world.
Wow. That's amazing. Well, Chief Arvel, it's been an absolute pleasure to share the last hour with you. And I know the people listening at home and also the people who actually get the opportunity to listen to this recording really appreciate you really keeping your tradition alive, and also in keeping that tradition alive, stepping forward and actually sharing it with the world, because there is just such a wealth of knowledge and experience that we can all benefit from here on planet Earth. And yeah, it certainly touched me very deeply, this evening's conversation, and I know that I'll carry your message for many years to come. So I just really wanted to thank you on behalf of myself and also on behalf of all the people of the world for the amazing work that you do in the world.
Thank you very much. May peace be with each and every one of you.
And thank you everyone at home for listening in this evening. So amazing to be able to share these messages with you every week. For those of you who would love to listen to this interview again, it will be made available for free on the People You Should Meet website tomorrow morning. So please do come back and listen to it. And also, I think the words shared this evening are a real global significance, so I encourage you all to share this message as widely as you possibly can. So thanks once again, Chief Arvel Looking Horse. It's been an absolute pleasure. And thank you, everyone at home.
Aho, washte. Suksha.
Good night.